Jeff is going to come and lead us with the reading just now.
The reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, reading from verse 12 through to verse 16. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained.
Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Is that okay? My headset, I did have to confess, I did drop it once when I stood up too quickly. But I think I'm just not used to the whole Britney thing, but it will kick back in, it's fine. Good morning. It's really good to be here with you. I am Mandy, for those I haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet. I live not too far away in Staines-upon-Thames with my husband Matt and my two children, Rachel, who's here this morning, and Joel, who I left in bed this morning, but it's fine. He's getting up. He's going to the church that we normally attend. Matt and I are both teachers. So Matt works in a secondary school. He's been working as a teacher for longer than I have. He works, as I say, in secondary school. He works with the inclusion unit, the inclusion room, which is where all the children who have some challenging behaviour end up. So never a dull moment for Matt. I work at the other end of the spectrum. So I am a class teacher in reception. So I have 30 children who are between 4 and 5 years old. So again, never a dull moment for me either. And our connection with Glyn and Elaine, as we were discussing before I came up this morning, is that we used to attend the same church before they came here to Frimley. And I was trying to work out how long have I known them for? And I don't know about you, but this whole coronavirus thing has really put a bit of a kink in the timeline, hasn't it? And I couldn't actually work out how long it has been, but good old Facebook helped me on that one. It's actually been 8 years. There you go, 8 years that we've known each other. We had a great storm, didn't we, this week? Well, we met around the time of the great floods in 2014. Do you remember that, when quite a bit of Egham Hive actually was underwater? So today, what I want us to think about is Paul's message to the church, as we've heard this morning, which is in Philippians 3. And really what he's saying is it's this idea of pressing on. It's this idea of straining ahead. And as I want to put it, it's the idea of moving forward and the importance of moving forward. And I just want to suggest to us that as individuals and as a church, that God's desire for us is to be progressive. His desire for us is to move forward. Now, as individuals, you know, that looks very much like our journey into becoming more like Christ. So God wants to do a work in us. He wants to do a transforming work in us. As a church, we're really talking about mission as well. God wants to do a work through us, and he wants us to reach out, to advance his kingdom, to build his church, and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And if we think about it, Jesus' last words to his disciples, his directive was what? It was go, wasn't it? Go. Go into all the world. Go and make disciples. Go into all the nations. In other words, don't just sit with this good news, this abundant life I have given you, but instead, run with it. Go with it. Share it and live it. Now, I hear that you've been doing a series, am I right, on a bit of a spiritual MOT? Does that sound, yeah, you're nodding, that's good. And I was thinking, actually, this kind of message fits in, doesn't it, to what you've been thinking about? Because the whole reason that you would have your car MOT'd is so that it can move, so that it can be fit for the purpose that it was intended for, so that it can be useful, fulfill its purpose. Now, we're not particularly a car family, are we, Matt, really? Probably because we've never had the money to be a car family. But there was once, and we've been married not too long, Matt was given a bit of money, and he decided that with it, he wanted to buy His uncle was selling a little classic car, a little Triumph, so he decided that he would buy that car, a little blue one, and it was lovely to start with, but I do remember at the time sort of saying, you know, the problem with cars like that, it's all right if you know what you're doing, isn't it, if you can have a little tinker under the bonnet, but if you don't, it's hard. And so to start with, it was fine, but then gradually something went wrong with it, and that was fixed, but then something else went wrong, something else went, and eventually it ended up sitting on the driveway, and this lovely little classic Triumph car just sat there. And the thing is that when it is sat there, it's not being used, it's open to the elements, it begins to deteriorate, doesn't it? And that's something, I don't know about you, but that's something I would never want in my spiritual journey. And probably if I were to ask you this morning, just to reflect for a moment, you know, have you made progress since that time you first believed, since you first became a Christian, whether it's many, many years ago or recently? If I asked you that, I don't know you, but I think probably you'd all nod your heads at me, would you? Well, I can see a little bit of nodding, yeah. You know, because we have probably made progress. So this message is quite simply, it's not you got to start moving, it's an encouragement. Keep moving forward. Keep progressing. Now, as I already said, I'm a teacher in a primary school. And I think actually the last time that I came and spoke to you, I was just about, for those of you here, I think I was just, again, Corona has a bit of a time warp effect, but I was just about to embark on my training, I believe. I was just about to, it was a change of career for me, and I was about to start my training as a teacher. That was the last time. I think that was maybe 2.5 years ago. Wow. As you can tell from the extra grey hairs and the wrinkles, it's been really tough because in my training year, that is when the pandemic hit. So I've had a class, but I've also had a series of lockdowns. And I have to say that this September, when I got my new class, wow, I really saw the effects of lockdowns like never, ever before. Sorry, this thing keeps coming. Keeps coming off, it's all right. Yeah. Yes. Sorry, go back to where I was. So this September, when I had my class, to be honest, for the first couple of weeks, me and my TA would just look at each other as if we're in a little bit of shock. Because here you had children who'd never been to nursery before, some of them. Or some of them who'd had really limited time in nursery, which meant that some of the needs that they had hadn't been identified. It meant they hadn't been used to socialising. They certainly hadn't been used to sitting and listening. They'd been used to being at home, perhaps while poor parents had to try and work. So they probably had a lot of hearing, yes, 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 you know, because poor parents had to work. And then, of course, they come to school and you say no, and they're like, what? What does no mean? Also, is it true? So they've also had a lot of screen time, probably more than they ever would have had before, because parents, it's not a criticism, it's just we had to do what we had to do, didn't we, to get through this situation. And if I can describe it like this, so carpet times to begin with, do you remember that old arcade game called Whack-a-Mole? Have you ever remember that one? Yeah? It was, to start with, it was like that. Whack-a-mole is that game where you've got a hammer and the mole pops up and you're hitting that one, then another one pops. Now, obviously, I didn't use a hammer. You're not allowed to. I looked into it and I didn't. But verbally, that is what it was like. It was, you know, right, if you can imagine 30 children on the classroom, you ring the bell, come and sit down. And then it was like, okay, good listening. Eyes looking, that's it. Eyes are good sitting. No, I'll take that dinosaur, thank you. And I'll take the car, thank you. And I'll take the marble, thank you. Good listening, good, yeah, thank you. No, can you put your shoe on? Thank you, Bob. Bob, shoe, yeah, thank you, Bob. Then you turn around, this is no joke, then five other children had then taken their shoe off. And then you have the conversation. Now, if I've just asked Bob to keep his shoe on, do you think that means I want you all to take your shoes off? No, I don't. So it was like that, and for a very long time. And I'm not going to lie, we're halfway through the year, and there are still some days where at the end of the day I want to silently sob in the book corner. But, and this is the point, you know, It's about looking back at your starting point. And I have to sometimes, to encourage myself, look back at the starting point. And when I do, I realise that actually they have made a lot of progress. You know, it doesn't always feel like it, but they have. And that's what Paul's saying to us. Now, we've heard the verses read already from the NIV version. I just want to look at them in the Message version. So it says this. I'm not saying, this is what Paul says, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it. But I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onwards to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I am not turning back. That's a good version of it, isn't it? Like a translation. But I am not turning back. And Paul's saying that, you know, he's saying, I'm not perfect, I'm not there yet. And the truth is, none of us are we? You know, that when we get to heaven, then it will be perfected. But at the moment, we're just trying to move forward. And remember, sometimes our starting point will keep us encouraged. So I want us just to think about moving forward. And this is just a starting point for us to start thinking about it. And sometimes, in order to carry on that journey of moving forward and thinking, you know what, I want to fulfill my purpose as an individual and as a church, then the way to make sure that we do it is sometimes just to be aware of what things can hold us back, having a bit of insight into what can hinder us. And Paul's really clear, isn't he? He's saying, you know, I want to strive forward, I want to move forward, and I don't want to go back. And he's clear about what can hold us back is what is behind us. It's the past, isn't it? The past. That's a four-letter word, past. But actually, it's got huge implications, hasn't it? You know, there's perhaps times when we try to move forward, and then we get to a certain point. And if you can imagine, have you ever seen a bungee run before? You know, you're moving forward, I'm moving forward, I'm making progress, and you get to a certain point, and then it's like, yank, and you find yourself pulled back. And then we end up perhaps slipping into our past patterns of thinking or our ways or our habits. So I just want us to think, there's just two little elements of the past that I want us to think about. You know, just start our thought, but we're not going to change everything in a morning, but hopefully it'll encourage us just to perhaps explore it for ourselves as we go from here. But the first aspect of the past that I think can hold us back, that can stop us kind of making progress, is past failures. Now, sometimes it is other people fail us and it leaves us with some hurt and some disappointment to deal with, some insecurities. But often, if we're honest, we manage the failures all on our own, don't we? You know, we want to move forward and we do, and then maybe we mess up. Maybe we can't forgive ourselves or let go of some kind of guilt from the past. We become distracted. Sometimes a bit of apathy sets in. Perhaps sometimes we lose a bit of focus because we get distracted by what is going on in our lives. And we feel like we've let God down. Have you ever felt like that? You know, we start thinking those thoughts, you know, I want to move forward, but, you know, God doesn't want to use me. God couldn't use me. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not well enough. I'm not gifted enough. Well, I've got some good news this morning. Because did you know something? God will never, ever write us off. We might write ourselves off, but God, in his grace, he does not. I'm going to say that again. We might write ourselves off, but God, in his grace, does not. The second bit of good news is this. That there is a perfect antidote to the failures of the past, the guilt of the past, and that is God's grace. And it's a free gift to every single one of us. John Stott wrote that grace is love that cares and stoops and rescues. And that's what Jesus has done for us, hasn't he? You know, he stooped down, he came from heaven to earth to rescue us, to die on the cross for us, to give us new life, give us new hope, give us the hope of heaven. My Uncle Keith is a minister, and I've heard him say many, many times, he used to say that mercy is when we don't get what we do deserve, and he'd say that grace is when we get what we don't deserve. I want to add that grace has absolutely nothing to do with us, and it has everything to do with who God is. You know, God has a work that he wants to do in us. He's got a work that he wants to do through us. And we don't want to let anything from the past stop us from moving forward in purpose. And you might say, really, Mandy, you don't know me. I'm a stranger to you. You don't know my past. You don't know me, what I've been through. Well, I just want to look quickly at two of the figureheads who Jesus chose to advance his kingdom when he went back to heaven. So let's just quickly look at Peter. Remember Peter? Peter was in a really privileged position, wasn't he? He was chosen, handpicked by Jesus. He was a close friend. He was there for the miracles. He was there for the close encounters, the teachings, the precious moments. But the reality is, Peter let Jesus down. Peter denied even knowing Jesus. Peter ran away because he was scared. Peter wasn't at, as far as we know, Peter was not at the foot of the cross in Jesus's darkest, hardest time. And you might think Peter would be a bit nervous when it came to meeting Jesus again after the resurrection. Maybe he was. But you know, Jesus could have written him off, couldn't he? He could have said, you know what? Oh, now you show up. Now you're here. Where were you when I needed you? You know, he could have said, I can't trust you now. You've let me down. But instead, there's this beautiful moment of grace where Jesus just walks with Peter. And he asks him, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yeah, I love you. And he said, well, feed my sheep. Three times he asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter has the opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I do. I love you. Peter gets what he doesn't deserve. He gets forgiveness. He gets restoration. He gets a second chance. He also gets renewed purpose and responsibility. Let's look at Paul. Now, Paul, quite a different kind of figure, really, passionately persecuting Christians with hatred, not just the, oh, I don't like those Christians. He was pursuing them with hatred, completely and utterly misguided. And then he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus could have written him off, couldn't he? Or Saul, as he was then. He could have written Saul off. He could have humiliated him, destroyed him. He could have said, who do you think you are? What are you playing at? But instead, we see this beautiful moment of grace where he simply says, why? Why? Why are you persecuting me? And Saul, in that moment, gets what he doesn't deserve. He gets forgiveness. He gets restoration. He gets a second chance. He gets renewed purpose. And he gets responsibility. You know that blue car that sat on our drive? You know, to be honest, we'd written it off in our minds, thinking, you know, whoever is going to want that. I think, Matt, even we talked about, you know, whether it could be collected for scrap. But I thought, you know what, I'll just see. So I took some pictures and put an advert in the Classic Car website. You wouldn't believe the number of phone calls that we got to say, you know, we'd like to come and see the car. And in the end, we actually sold it to a dad and a son who were going to work on it together as a project to restore it and bring it back to its former glory. You might feel inadequate this morning. You might feel like you've messed up a bit. You might feel the weight of past failures. You might not feel good enough or strong enough. But do you know what? That's okay. Because God says, I can work with that. That's a good starting point for me. God doesn't choose the arrogant. He doesn't choose the proud, those who think they have it all together. God chooses the humble, the people who say, Lord, I need you. The people who acknowledge that they rely on him to get them through. God looks to work in us and through us, and what he's looking for is people who are available. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, talking about, you know, God's grace being sufficient, he says that God said to him, "My grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living within in me." We might write ourselves off, but let me encourage you this morning and say that God does not. He sees our value. He sees our potential. Now, when Rachel and Joel were little, Joel was just a baby, a few weeks or a few months old. Rachel would have been about 3 and a half. I remember once Joel was crying, and I was trying to comfort him. And Rachel, she went off, and she came back with his favourite little soft toy, and she was kind of shaking it, saying, "Joel, look at this," trying to stop him from crying. And I remember I turned to Rachel, and I said something along the line. I think I used the word smasher, but I sort of said, "Rachel, you're such a good girl, do you know that? Or you're such a smasher, Rachel, do you know that?" I remember she turned to me, and she just said, "If you say I am, then I am. If you say I am, then I am." You know, that utter faith in my words spoken over her. And this morning, God says to us, "You are loved. You are accepted. You are forgiven. You belong. You are valued." And sometimes, even though we may not feel it, we just need to say, "Do you know what, God? If you say I am, then I am." And trust in him. Let go of the past and move forward. Now, I'm going to bring it sort of to an end now, but there was one thing that I tried to cut out, and it kept coming back to me, so I don't know, maybe it will be relevant to someone here this morning. But the second point that I just want to talk about in terms of the past is that sometimes it's not our past failures that prevent us from moving forward, but sometimes it's our past successes that can stop us from moving forward. Because what we can do sometimes is we can cling to the things that we've always done and in the way that we've always done them. But God wants us to move forward. He wants us to be progressive. And God is by nature looking to do something new. If you just look at the way, now God will never change. His nature won't change. His word won't change. His message won't change. His standards of purity, they won't change. But the way that he has reached out to us over time has changed, hasn't it? If you look in Genesis, he walked in the garden. Then we move on and he spoke to individual people. He rose up judges and prophets. Then he sent Jesus to us. And then Jesus went back and then the Holy Spirit came to empower us. So the way that God, his love for humanity has never changed, but the way he has reached out has at times. And God, I believe, is a God who's always looking to do something new, something fresh. I'm just going to move on. I'll skip the first verse, but Isaiah 43 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." It's been a really strange couple of years, hasn't it? It has. It's been a really, there's no other way to put it. It's been a really strange and difficult couple of years. And now it feels to me like there is a bit of a turning point. And also, I feel that there is a real point of opportunity for the church. Do you feel that? The world is opening up again, isn't it? It's gradually opening up. But in many ways, the world that is opening up is a different world to the one of 2.5 years ago. It's perhaps a more cautious world. It's a world that's a little bit more anxious and fearful of the future. It's a world with perhaps a little more loneliness and isolation. You know, Louise, my friend Louise, she spoke about, she was doing a talk about compassion recently, and she was talking about, you know, how the virus has affected the level of global poverty. It's a world where there is more poverty, and not just globally, but in our own communities as well. As we, you know, constantly hear people talk about, you know, are they going to pay the gas bill or put food on the tables? Perhaps there's less security. There's perhaps more confusion in this world, knowing, you know, who can I trust? Can I trust what anyone says is true anymore? Now, I've painted a bit of a bleak picture there, haven't I? But what hasn't changed, and what will never change, is that Jesus was and is and will always be the answer to this world's problems. He will always be the answer. And I guess my question is, how does he want us to reach out? How does he want us to step out into our communities in a new way? Because it's unlikely that people will just step in on a Sunday morning, isn't it? That's the reality. It's unlikely, not impossible, it's unlikely. So how do we reach out? Jesus said in John, doesn't he, the fields are ready, they're ripe for harvest. He says the same thing in Luke, but instead he adds, but you know, the workers or the laborers, they're few. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of the few. I want to move in purpose, proclaiming Jesus as the hope and the answer. And perhaps we just need to have our hearts open to what God wants to do next. Prepared to let go of the old successes, the way we used to do things. And if God wants to do something new, let it happen. You know, the pandemic changed how the world operated, really. For a while, it even slowed down, came to a stop. And churches, never in my lifetime did I ever think there wouldn't be a church to go to on a Sunday morning. You know, face-to-face services, some activities had to stop. But now is not the time for the church to slow down, is it? It's not the time. It's not the time to sit back. It's time to get moving. It's time to move forward. And at Frimley Baptist Church, you're in a very good position because you've all just had a spiritual MOT, haven't you? So you are raring to go. Let me just sum up, and then I promise to stop talking. It is time to move forward. It's time just to keep moving forward, to progress. Time to forget the past, stop looking back at our failures or our successes, and just move forward in God's grace. It is sufficient. Don't write ourselves off. God will never, ever write us off. Instead, we can stand in who he says we are. Let's be ready and open to anything new that God wants to do. He's got a work he wants to do in us and through us. And all we need to do is to make ourselves available to him. I'll just pray. Father God, I thank you that we are loved, we're accepted, and we're forgiven. Thank you that we can find our strength, our hope, and our purpose in you. Lord, what we know, your good news, this abundant life you've given us, we just want to share it with others. Lord, we know that you are the answer that this world needs, and we want to share it. We want to go. Lord, I pray that nothing would hold us back. We surrender our pasts, our failures, and our successes, and we keep our eyes on the goal. Lord, we make ourselves available to you. Use us for your kingdom, for your purpose, and to bring glory to your name. Lord, do a new thing in our lives, in our hearts, and in our church, in your church. Amen.